had the awesome joy of screwing my rotator cuff back off. You know, like I screwed it up a long time ago, and I just like never did anything about it. Right, and I was just like, I'll heal eventually. Okay. Right, so then now every time I do anything like remotely difficult with my shoulder, it just like I end up walking around with like this one T-Rex arm like all day long because like I can't. It's weird. I can reach backwards, but I can't reach forward. So I just kind of like have this one short, I can bend at the elbow and reach with my wrist, but that's about it. So it's a journey.
Is it your right or your left?
It's my dominant hand. It's my right hand.
Okay. Yeah. Cause like, I'll be honest, as I'm watching you on the video doing that, I was like, well, surely he's not like, he's miming with the one that's not hurt, right?
Yeah, no. Because that's my motion.
Oh, okay,
right there.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
That's
cool.
My motion.
This is.
Give me one of those little, like, you know, pincher toys, you know, like the Unstoppable t-shirt with T-Rex. Yeah. You know, Unstoppable.
There you go.
Oh, man. The joys. I hate home ownership sucks sometimes. Like, owning a home is great, home ownership sucks.
Right. The part where when there's something going on, like, so for example, me in my apartment, if something's not working, my labor requirement is that I pick up my phone and call the apartment complex.
Yeah. Yep. Not me. I am the guy and I am not very qualified. So it's quite the scene each time. So anyway. All right. Okay. Let's hit an intro and we'll jump into it.
Welcome to the podcast, Blue Collar Scholars. Not long ago, a group of brilliant minds met together at a pub to discuss their unfinished works. They recognized the value of coming together around delicious beverages and having meaningful conversations. That group was known as the Inklings. The Inkledoo podcast here, we're working to be the second iteration of that group. So pour yourself a craft beverage, pull up a chair, and join the conversation.
Have you had anything good recently?
I went out and got together with someone for coffee just this past weekend. Nice. And we went to a place called Driftwood Coffee.
Oh, yeah. You're on my neck of the woods, huh?
Yeah, yeah. They were coming from, like, the Surprise area.
Mm-hmm.
And so it ended up being about the same drive for both of us. I'm not sure it was actually in the middle. You know, kind of one of those things where we both just drove the same amount out of our way, I think.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I went there and had the had some coffee. I did one of the like flavored lattes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it was freaking freezing.
Yeah.
And apparently that's the thing we're doing in Phoenix now, which I'm not a fan of. but you know, God still doesn't run the weather by me in spite of all of my suggestions.
He does not ask us.
But anyway. But yeah, so it was good. The vibe of the place was kind of cool. Like it's
a cool shop.
Yeah, it sort of lives up to the name. Like in a really like kind of fun way where there's like a couple of couches and stuff in there and it really does just sort of seem like everything is just sort of hodgepodge. Like, yeah, this is what we happened to. This is what was sitting out on the corner of one of our neighborhoods.
And yeah, that couch floated in last time it rained. Yeah, just like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that kind of a thing. But as a vibe, it really worked.
But it is cool. Yeah.
The coffee was solid. I mean, you know, again, I had a flavored latte, and so it tasted like the flavoring in it. But it wasn't like. It wasn't hyper sweet on the syrup or anything like that. It was a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And the full extent of adventure that I've had on any beverages since the last time we've recorded. So,
yeah. Now we used to go to that shop quite a bit. So that's Old Town Peoria. And so, my daughters used to go do dance classes in like the place over there. So whenever daughter was in the dance class, me and the other daughter would walk over there and I would get them like a strawberry lemonade and I would get, you know, a different coffee I love their patio. Their patio is really cool. It's got a great spot. They have like the walk-up window. And then actually they're connected to a church. So that Axiom, that building, that the giant building they're part of is actually like a church.
Oh, okay.
And then on the backside of that is like a neighborhood playground.
Yes. I saw the playground park thing. Cause that was like right by where I had actually parked my car for it.
Yeah. So it's a cool little spot, man. I really like it. Their coffee, like their lattes are good. Their coffee can hit or miss sometimes. like, because I think they go pretty light roasted, and gotcha. Sometimes it's a little underdeveloped, so it's kind of sour, kind of tangy. But they just started roasting their own coffee maybe like a couple of years ago.
Oh, nice.
So I think they'll get the hang of it. I think they have good palates, so it'll be it's a cool shop. I really like it.
Yeah, definitely. Again, like, It's worth finding if you're in that general neck of the woods.
Yeah, yeah. That's a cool spot. Like, there's also, because we do there's a theater back there, like the Peoria. It's called Theater Works, and so like the one that where like the city of Peoria kind of sponsors and will like do discounts and stuff, trying to get the arts kind of up in Peoria, right. Back in there, and so it's a I'm hearing they're gonna make that area all around nicer. So like, they've tried to add some places to it, and it's kind of struggled. So sure. It sounds like Peoria's going to put some work into it. So that coffee shop set up nicely. But, yeah, it's primed for, like, a nice restaurant, maybe, like, something with a bar in there, like, where you can go and have an evening. Like, it's a neat spot, but it's underdeveloped for sure by quite a bit. So, and that's me just kind of tacking on to everything, because I haven't had anything new.
I didn't want to like level the accusation, but I was like, you're talking about like the city of Peoria's master plan for developing the neighborhood. I was like,
at the same time, I'm also kind of excited about that because we do actually go to that theater.
Yeah.
And like, when was the last time you've been to a theater show?
So are we going to count the ones that the high school puts on? Because
like, it's one of those things where like, and if I said, hey, here's like, you need to spend money to go to the theater, are you going to be like, yeah, let's do it?
You're going to have to like get lucky and pick one of the two or three performances that I've actually heard of before.
Yeah. Or you're going to have like win tickets from school, like something that's like going to like force you to go. And that's what we did. Like
Or you're going to have to like really sell the kind of additional parts of the evening.
Yes.
Like this restaurant that we're going to hit, this place over here for some really cool drinks and stuff. And then we'll go catch this show. You know, everyone will dress up nice, you know, make it a real event or something. Then I might be like, all right, that sounds good. That sounds like a fun way to pretend I'm classy for an evening, you know.
Yeah, but no, that's what we did. We won tickets to one show, and then Kristen found like a pay what you can show for like Mary Poppins or something like that. And so we've gone to two shows in like the last 3 months, and we're both like, we would never pay for the theater, but we freaking love it every single time we go. And so we're sitting there going, maybe we should pay to go to the theater. Because it's, I don't know, man, there's something that's different about theater than like the movies.
No, absolutely. Well, and I think so. It's been a while, but I have gone to a few stage shows, and I will say one of the things that's really cool is that like when you go to a movie, the director kind of decides what's important, mm-hmm. like what you need to pay attention to. Whereas when you're at the theater, like if it's a show that you're actually somewhat familiar with, you've got the option of being like, no, you know what, actually, I want to pay attention to this character regardless of what's actually, you know, quote unquote, the main action in the scene. Yeah. I want to know what everyone's doing.
Yeah, it's, and there's just something, it's more real, you know, like it's not perfect, you know, like we go, like there's like Hollywood is almost too perfect sometimes.
Yes.
And often. So like when you go to the theater, like it just feels different because they stumbled or they goofed or this got caught or whatever, and they had to roll with it, and they had to, you know, the show had to go on, and
you don't have the option of a second take.
Yeah So it's I don't know, I'm intrigued by it. I dig it, but anyway, I am derailing us. It sounds like we're probably, are we wrapping up the Salvation conversation?
I think so. I mean, you can never really tell, because there's a decent chance that one of us will have like a random hair pop up on us over the course of the next week or so. Right. Say, actually, let's do this one too. But I think the plan, I think this is kind of looking at kind of those, those once and for all kind of questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea of, you know, we talked about adoption, recapitulation. Shoot, why am I drawing a blank on the second one? Like, I skipped the middle one there. Adoption.
Sanctification?
Sanctification. That's the one. I knew there was another Asian in there. and then the recapitulation. And so, like, I don't know. I was sitting on it this morning and just thinking, yeah, so we've talked about a lot of these kind of aspects of salvation, but, like, let's just get to the kind of overarching thing, like,
yeah,
being saved,
you know,
what it's all for.
That's a good question. What is it for? No, I mean, but it's interesting. So just to kind of really get it rolling, because I'm in Romans right now, and so I like that you brought the questions that you brought up on the notes and stuff like that, because it had me thinking about the last. I'm in Romans 7 right now, so I've been, you know, like, they're all kind of built together. That first half of this book is all a legal treatise on salvation, you know, but
yeah, it is the most, like, systematic theology that you kind of get.
It is, yeah, A plus B, you know, A to B to C to D. And so, but I am in the section where he's talking about being a slave. Or I'm like just in the middle, just past whatever. But it's really interesting. And I was thinking about that because we've talked about all of these things. And, like, all the Asians that we've talked about all seem very permanent, right? Like, like, recapitulation doesn't mean, like, my head's going to fall off and it's got to keep getting put back on regularly. You know, like, that's a weird concept. Adoption, you know, you don't, like, take a kid, send them off, take a kid, send them away. You know, like, a lot of these salvation things are very permanent, or to me, appear very permanent to me. And I'm not making a theological statement here, but as I'm reading Romans and he's like, you were a slave to sin and you submitted your members to that. Now you are a slave to, I think he does, I don't think he ever says a slave to Christ, but a slave to righteousness, or a slave to God, and you submit your members to righteousness. And that always threw me off. I know Paul even goes, you know, I'm speaking in human terms, which is basically like, hey, like, don't, this isn't literal. I'm just trying to.
Don't take this analogy too far.
But as I take it literal and use his analogy to go too far, it was I was just really thinking of the whole idea of being a slave, because again, that is something that is permanent. And when you were there, and that slavery has kind of two aspects. There's a physical aspect and a mental aspect. And I think this is where we kind of get into the forever saved conversation, where there's all these nuances. But, like, there's the physical aspect in which you are a slave, right? Like, you, whether you're in chains or you're owned or whatever you want to call that. But then there's also, like, the mental aspect of, and let's use a negative connotation. So, like, the actual slaves, right? Like, you would be physically manhandled and put on a farm, plantation, whatever. But then you'd also be, like, mentally kind of abused and beaten until you had lost your spirit, right? Until you kind of gave up. So there's, like, this mental, you could always fight back at any time. You might lose, but you
still probably will.
You still have a choice. Yeah. But that choice has just kind of been beaten down for so long. On the and so, like, if you were to flip that on its head, you have this thing to where, like, now you are owned by God, right? Which is good, not a bad thing. And now there's this also this mental piece of choosing, you know, submitting your members to righteousness, right? Like, so there was, like, the ownership piece, and then there was what you did on in that area. If that makes, does that make sense? Where tracking?
I'm with you. Yeah.
And so then, like, that mental piece of, like, the idea was that it, I wrote down in my journal, I was like, you know, salvation, because, like, doing good or doing the will of God or wanting to please God isn't something that you want to do, but it's, like, something that you almost have to do. Like, it's a compulsion that's, for lack of a better word, kind of just been beaten into you. Like, but it's not in a bad, you know, I don't have any other good terminology.
Well, so, like, part of the problem with like all of the slave terminology is that like realistically, American slavery was a fairly, well, no, European Western, like as colonization was happening, slavery, because I don't want to like make it just US, but basically like slavery as it existed in the Western Hemisphere was like not a concept that St. Paul would have had right. any experience with.
Right.
Now, that's not me trying to say that, no, you know, slavery back then was easy and it was cake and slavery, right. there was nothing wrong with it. I mean, definitely not what I'm saying. But at the same time, like, slavery was almost an employment path. You know, like, this idea of, not employment path, I'm sorry, a career, I guess, would be more a better way to, like, phrase it. Because it's not like you were going to get promoted from slave to free or anything like that in most cases. But, like, there were people who were, like, you couldn't pay a debt. And so now you are a slave until you have worked off what you owed. And then now you are free. You know, that's like even some of Jesus' parables kind of make yeah. reference to that idea.
But I mean, like that's like serfdom, right? Like that's a similar concept. Like,
yeah, absolutely. But again, serfs were tied to a landed thing and like right. that medieval Europe. So still even that is like a concept developed well after Paul.
But I mean, like the Romans wouldn't have had like a dehumanized slave per se, like
I mean, oh, so that's not what I intend to say.
Oh, okay,
like,
okay, sorry.
They had all kinds of tiers of humanity. You got to remember, you've got the Romans, you've got the those who are under Roman control, and then you've got the barbarians on the outside, and like, okay. yeah, there were all kinds of different okay. tiers. You know, which level of humanity had you bought yourself into type of thing was absolutely there. So I'm not got trying it. To say there okay. was nothing dehumanizing about it either. But again, like it wasn't necessarily this idea of slavery was inherently a forever thing. There were temporary slaves and there were also like, nah, you know, this is a life thing. You know, both were kind of options or things that you would see around you. But ultimately more what I'm going with on this is this idea that like when Paul is talking to us about this idea of being slaves for Christ, you're right. On one hand, that would be like, oh, okay, so it's a permanent thing. But it's clearly not, because we were slaves to sin. So if we're able to stop being a slave to sin, if we're able to choose our master, then this is a slightly different level of slavery. Like it is still ultimately you are choosing a master and they have power over you. They have dominion over you. But there is this element of choice in the slavery that St. Paul is bringing in with this analogy.
Okay.
And that's why he keeps talking about the idea of we must continue to submit ourselves. You know, right. that we have to practice this faithfulness, that we have to practice this fidelity. Because he says we must not, but in doing so, he acknowledges that it is an option we have to choose to go back to our former slavery. And I think he would even probably be drawing some of those parallels when you look at when he talks about the results of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you know, if you choose this master, this mastery of sin over you, if that's what you choose to be a slave to, okay, cool, I guess, just know this is what you're signing up for. This is the type of master right. that is. One that brings destruction, pain, and death. And over here, you have one who treats you as a slave in the way that, like, Abraham talks about his servants who are, like, when he doesn't have Isaac yet, and he's talking to God about, oh, cool, you've blessed me with all this stuff, but my slaves are the ones who are going to inherit it.
Right.
But they're basically members of his family at that point.
Hmm.
And so in this slavery to Christ and in this right. salvation, we have a master who is entrusting us still with a lot of our freedoms, but who is going to make sure, you know, what we've chosen, and the consequences are coming with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's interesting too, because like right after that slave analogy, which again, if you take it too far, yeah, it starts to add in a bunch of concepts that probably aren't quite there. But there's also the, as he builds on that, and this wasn't meant to be a treatise on Romans, so we'll move on before.
Yeah,
that.
Sorry, I get excited and chase things down.
I'm in it, so that's the problem. Is that he also talks about then after that about, you know, being free from the law because you died with Christ, right? In identification with Christ, you've died with that, and you're no longer bound by the law. And so where the law is, there's no longer sin. Or where you died, so you're no longer contractually bound to the law, so you're not held to the law, so you're now in a state of grace, which you're free. Again, you know, like those terms of like, if we died with Christ, like, do you go back and die again? You know, like.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think, like, because that's kind of the thing is, so we didn't die with Christ literally in the sense that we haven't been buried in that tomb for 3 days or anything. Mm-hmm. But just as we didn't eat that fruit on the tree, but we still got the sin.
Right.
We didn't actually die, but through Christ who becomes this new Adam for us, we are given that freedom again. We are no longer trapped in sin. We're no longer like stuck with it. There's a way out that we have access to. And with that choice, ultimately, to a certain extent, like here's kind of my thing, is that ultimately it is going to be a permanent decision to accept it, yes or no. But we get stuck in the idea of, well, I've decided, yes. You know, like, so the concept of once saved, always saved, I would say is actually in at least one way very, very accurate. Like that, yeah, no, if I actually accept the salvation of Christ, if I actually choose to be a slave to righteousness, a slave to Christ, if that's actually my choice, then yeah, that's a permanent choice.
Yeah.
However, just because I think I've made the choice doesn't actually mean I have. Like, I'm still in that process of, like, our life on earth to a certain extent feels very much to me kind of like that. It's been a long time since either one of us have worked high school jobs because you're 40 and I'm dang close to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember when you would get hired on at a place, it's like, okay, cool. So you get paid like this half wage for the 30 days. And then once you get through this probation period, now you're actually an employee. Now you actually work here. Our earthly life to a certain extent feels that way. And what I mean by that is that God allows us to say what we want to do. Like, I want to turn myself over to him. And God says, awesome, I want you to do that as well. Here's what that looks like. And here are the ways that's difficult. And we find that out purely by experiencing it. And so it kind of goes back to me to some of our earlier conversations about that idea of like that floor where we can't go past it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if I have actually committed to it, if I really have, then yeah, I'm going to struggle. And there are going to be times where it might not be obvious that that's the choice that I've made, but it's still what I'm working towards in the midst of my difficulties with it, in the midst of my doubts, in the midst of my fears. Nevertheless, at my core, I am still God's. And I might not be able to feel that at that particular moment, but it's still true. But there's also the chance that what I chose as my master was my image of God rather than God.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
That was a way more convoluted way to get there.
No. But like, cause like the statement around, you know, like we might have thought we chose God, but we didn't. Like, that one's hard, or we think we're saved, but we're not actually. And that one's, that's a doozy.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. I'm struggling with that one a little bit because, like, how can you not know? But then you kind of said, like, the thing that came to me was the sower, right? Like, there'll come the test, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like there's a, it's like you're going into the mafia, right? They're going to test your loyalty first thing, right? Like, yeah. Are you actually in or are you not?
I love the image of God the Father sitting in a chair, just like petting a cat in his lap, talking with some cotton balls stuffed into his cheeks.
But that's kind of you what come it is, to me right?
On this, the wedding feast of my son, the wedding feast of the Lamb. You come to me and you ask me for... Yeah, okay, I'm going to stop that now because it really, there's nowhere that conversation can go that isn't just incredibly that's heretical. Yeah, and I was going to regret that, yeah.
But that, you know, like if you persevere, which again, we've talked about this a lot, like so much of our walk is perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
Is you're not actually winning, you're not actually achieving anything, or like you're not crossing a finish line. What you're doing is you're persevering, and it's basically like a test each time, like testing your mettle each time, right? And if the first one, if you persevere, like I don't know what other measure you can have to have confidence in your salvation other than that when it sucked, like I stayed with him, you know, kind absolutely. Of a thing.
And that to me, that would be the source of the confidence is that, no, I did actually persevere when things got difficult, when I didn't understand why things were difficult, did I continue to like act in trust, even if there was some serious doubt happening inside of me, did I continue to move forward? You know, there's that line from St. Augustine that I love because it's one of those lines that like I've loved for a lot of different reasons, depending on which time I'm reflecting on it, mm-hmm. with that idea of love God and then do whatever you want, do what you will. And like as a young Christian, like just sort of starting to take ownership of my own walk, I was like, oh, that's awesome. Cool. I love God. Then I can just do whatever the heck I feel like.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. As you start to grow a little bit older, you're like, oh, but wait, if I loved God, what would I feel like doing?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, his will.
Yep.
You are my friends if you keep my commands.
Yep.
No longer slaves, I call you friends.
Yep.
And so like this idea of, oh, dang it. That's right. So I'm not a slave in the sense that God like beats me or anything like that. Although right. sometimes it does feel that way. No denying that. But it's not that. It's that I am bound to him. And so like, if I truly love him, then in the same way that like, if you truly love your daughters, nothing you do is designed to upset them. Right. Upsetting them might be a consequence of something that you do.
Mm-hmm.
When you won't let them have, you know, that fifth handful of candy just as they're about ready to go to bed or things like that. Or when you will require them to eat their dinner that they don't particularly like, mm-hmm. or that they just don't feel like at that point. But you're not doing it because you desire them to be upset. You're doing it because you desire their good. And so if I love God, if I truly do, if I really mean that when I say that, then that means while I am a fallible, broken human being, and so I'm going to make the wrong decision sometimes, my thought process is going to be that I am seeking to do what God would have me do.
Yeah.
And so my will becomes his.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. His will becomes what I desire. His will becomes my will. And so like from that perspective to me, this idea of the once saved, always saved really kicks in. Like, that's the test. When I said I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, when I like stood up at a church meeting, when I mm-hmm. walked forward to the altar, when I did these things, if I really meant it, if that was coming from the heart of who I am, then there's going to be that persistence. There's going to be that perseverance mm-hmm. where like, you know what? My life is way easier if I just stop doing this, but I trust in you, God. I'm going to place that with you and in you and keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as we're kind of chewing through this, the word confidence keeps poking up. And I think the reason why I lean into the once saved, always saved is because I've struggled my whole life with confidence of my salvation, because I've always had a transactional faith, right? So that if I didn't do these things, then God would take away from me. And if I did do these things, then God would give to me, you know, very flawed in my thinking. And we've worked it out on this podcast many a times.
Sure.
And so I think ultimately what all of us are looking for is confidence, right? Mm-hmm. Like something where we can stand firm and be like, because death is scary. Yep. And I don't care who you are, it's really freaking scary. And so we need something that gives us confidence to approach the door, you know, and step through and not be drugged through, you know, kind of a thing. Like, and so I think that's really where it comes from for me, is because like I know my screw ups. And so like the fear that if it is transactional, or the fear that it is up to me in any way, shape or form, because if it's up to me, I'm screwed, you know,
100%, you and me both.
And so that's where, you know, like I've had to really come along. And again, you're right. The once saved, always saved comes from a person, and I'm not speaking of myself, but a person who has made the choice. But then also, you used a line on the notes, you work it out with fear and trembling, like someone who's made the choice, but has never stopped choosing it and is persevering, white knuckling it when they have to, and just, you know, whatever they're doing, they're not letting go of Jesus. And if you have that in you, you can look and be like, man, I went through the suck. I held on to Jesus. I still have him on the other side. There's some confidence that if you don't let him go, he's never letting you go. You know, like, and that.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
That's something you can stand on. It's not just
that you're holding on to him, but like, he's got you too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so even when your grip slips, it's a little bit stronger, you know, and so we can peel back on there. And so if heading into life lessons, I think that kind of summarizes it for me, is to take some time and retrospect and retroflect on your life experience. You know, I've seen these memes where it's like, hey, you've survived all of your worst days, you know, be proud of yourself. And you're like, oh, hey, I have survived some pretty sucky things. But like that idea, but apply it to God, right? Like look back and be like, me and God have been through some ups and some downs. I'm still with him. He's still with me. And then you can start to see the foundation that you're standing on. Definitely. And then once you can see the foundation, then you can see how sure-footed you are. And then you can rest easier internally, usually. Not in life, but usually like just inside, you can take that deep breath that says, whew, this is a nice solid foundation. Like I'm not getting washed away. Like I'm good.
Well, even in this life, and that's kind of like, I want to kind of build on that as well for kind of where I'm going with the life lesson to wrap things up too, is like this idea that, you know, so much of our life here on earth is a series of snapshots, a series of moments. And sometimes that can be really frustrating, but it's also something that we can really like hold on to, where you have those moments of peace. And that moment of peace isn't just there for that moment, though. It's that moment that you're able to look back to. Like you said, the next time you're going through the suck, because there's going to be another time where you're going through the suck.
Yeah.
The next time you're going through the suck, when you can look back and be like, yeah, you know what? And I thought this last suck was going to be like the suck. And it turns out it wasn't. Like that suck wasn't the end. I stayed with God and God stayed with me. This idea of once saved, always saved, and this idea of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Like St. Paul says both.
Mm-hmm.
St. Paul says that those who belong to Christ, Their hope is not in vain. They cannot be lost.
Yeah.
He also says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
And it can seem like these are conflicting ideas, but I don't think they actually are.
Yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is that those who truly belong to Christ, he will not let us go. Going back to what you were talking about with that idea of like your grip slipping,
mm-hmm.
that's fine. My grip slipped, but I'm still reaching for him, which means he's not letting go of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like my desire is to continue reaching for him even when I actually fail at it. He's not going to let me go.
Yeah.
However, if I'm sincere in that, if I'm actually desiring him, then I have to keep in my mind and in my heart and in my life how grateful I am, how fortunate mm-hmm. I am to have a God who would do that for me. And I can never cross into that presumption of like, well, I belong to Christ, so he's not going to let me go. So I guess I can just go off and sin however the heck I feel like it at this point.
Yeah.
That would mean I have made it a transactional thing and that the God who I entrusted myself to is my vision of a transaction, not God himself. And so if that's the case, I need to fix that and get my eyes on the true Christ who has revealed himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff, man. It's so important to sit and, again, wrestle with these, you know, big Asian words
mm-hmm.
because, you know, sure, they are kind of like party words that you can just kind of drop, like recapitulation. Drop that in your, like, Sunday, your, you know, Bible study class. It's a lot of fun. But it's...
oh, this guy's smart.
Yeah, these single big words, you can just grab a shovel and just unpack for days. And that's, like, the one time unpacking is a lot of fun because it's worth it. It's cool.
Yeah.
And it's rich. So... Very cool, man. You got anything else on your brain?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I think it's time for me to like do some sitting unpacking because I love like, and that's the other thing, having someone to talk it through with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a lot of things that I say, they obviously just make sense to me. But when there's a little bit of not even pushback, but that idea of like a clarification, a follow up, yep. It's like, I need to sharpen my understanding on this.
Yeah.
And so now it's time for me to, now that I've kind of had the opportunity to steel sharpen steel, now yeah. I got to sit there and wipe away the filings and figure out what it is I'm looking at.
Yeah. And really quick. So I've been working on this definition of theology and I have it as revelation and reason, which like in doing theology, there's a revelation and then you use your reason to understand that revelation. And that happens in conversation, right? Like you're doing this thing and then there's this light bulb. And then after the conversation, you just have to like chew on it and you have to reason it out. That's revelation and reason. You're doing theology.
And then
theology.
You go back to the conversation again after that and you've got some new ones. Absolutely, man.
Yep. So anyway. All right. All right, everybody. With that, we will say
adieu.